So today we're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 22 and following. And we are talking about Joash. It says, "Thus Joash the king did not remember the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but killed his son. And as he died, he said, 'The Lord look on and repay.'" Now this verse is very important, and Lord, I want to ask right now that you would underline this verse and expose it and help us to understand it and give us the revelation. And oh God, we ask especially that this verse would stick its finger into our hearts and probe our inner man and help us and change us. And we'll give you all the praise in Yeshua's name. Amen. Now, I wanted you to know what the devil was doing at this time. You see, the Mashiach was on his way. The son of David, Mashiach ben David. But there were people who were overzealous, and they were literally killing off the holy seed. One of them was a guy named Jehu. Another guy, one was a woman named Athaliah. And there was political scheming going on, and all kinds of coup d'etat kind of murder going on in the palace, and blood was running in the royal courts, and the promise of God looked like it was up for grabs, like maybe it wasn't going to come true. And what had happened was this Athaliah, she saw the opportunity to seize the throne, and she started killing a bunch of rivals. These would be grandchildren, whatever, who have Davidic blood, and they were rivals to the throne of Judah. And she decided that the best way to insulate her power was this carnal idea of murder. And you know what? Your carnal nature always wants to do things the carnal way. And you know what? We have to resist our own flesh. And we have to ask the Holy Spirit to show us in the Word where we're getting off track. And this is the place that the Lord showed me today. Because we're talking about a young man, Joash, who should have been slaughtered with all of his brothers, but the priest Jehoiada, he had this little boy hidden away in the house of the Lord. That's where you and I ought to be, in the Beis Hashem, in the house of the Lord. And the murderers couldn't quite get their hands on him because he was hidden. And that's what I want to be. I want to be hidden in the house of the Lord. I want to be hidden from the devil. I want to be hidden from the flesh. I want to be hidden from the world. I want to be in the house of the Lord. And as a result, after this Athaliah was done away with, because she was a usurper, the little King Joash was put on the throne of Judah, and this meant that there was going to be a Davidic king, and this was paving the way for Yeshua HaMashiach to arrive. And the devil's plan was thwarted, and this man, this boy, he grew up. This little boy, he grew up, and he had a spiritual father. And you know what? The reason you need to be a member in a local body where the Bible is believed and faithfully taught is you need a spiritual father. You need a Jehoiada. This old man lived to be about 130 years old. And as long as Joash had him, Joash was a good man. He was a spiritual man. He repaired the temple and did other things. But when this old priest died, you know the old saying, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And what happens very often is you will have a great spiritual giant, and then that person will minister to the end of his days, and death will take him out, and then there will arise a generation that does not know Joseph and that does not care about the spiritual legacy. And we have seen this in our own fellowship, where great mentors and great pioneers are followed by people that are not the same. That they just don't have the spiritual goods. And this is the way this man was. And it says, verse 24, verse 17, it says, "Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. Therefore they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served wooden images and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them back to the Lord, and these prophets testified against them, but they would not listen." And you remember when Yeshua said, all the blood of all the prophets, from righteous Abel to Zechariah. Well, Zechariah is the son of Jehoiada. He's the one that's killed. He was killed between the altar and the porch. His blood was killed. You have to understand. You got to understand the Bible. You have to understand what's being said. When these are not just words. This actually happened. And look what came to pass. The wrath of God. You see, here's what, let's get the order of the sequence. First, the great spiritual mentor dies off. Then his spiritual protege listens to younger, unspiritual people, and they begin to lead the person into idolatry. The person begins to be led astray. And then the trespass occurs. And then the prophets show up and begin to warn them from the Lord. And then they don't listen to the prophets. And then the wrath of God comes. And we find out, it says, verse 20, "Then the Spirit of God," I'm looking at 2 Chronicles 24:20, "Then the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah the son of Jehoiada the priest, who stood above the people, and said to them, 'Thus says the Lord, why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord, so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he also has forsaken you.' So they conspired against him, and at the command of the king." Now what king are we talking about? We're talking about Joash, the little 7-year-old boy that was made king, who was cloistered away in the Beis Hashem so that he could be protected from that murdering Athaliah, so that he could carry on the Davidic line, so that the Mashiach ben David could come. And what does this guy do? He kills a prophet, and not just any prophet, but the son of his mentor, Jehoiada, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest who had protected him. And you see, this is the way we are in our flesh, in our carnality. Here we get all this spiritual stuff, this wonderful grace poured out on us. And then what do we do with it? What do we do with it? I mean, we have people sitting here who sat under Marie Brown. Amen? Think of Marie Brown, the great Pentecostal pioneer. And what are we doing with that legacy? This is a warning to us not to be a Joash. Not to let the devil corrupt us. Because look what it says. So they, that means the king and all of his collaborators, they conspired against him, and at the command of the king, they stoned him with stones in the court of the house of the Lord. In other words, they even had the temerity to kill him in the Beis Hashem. Can you imagine that? You don't just kill Billy Graham, you kill him in church. Can you imagine that? And then it says, "Thus Joash the king did not remember the chesed, the kindness, the loving kindness, the mercy which Jehoiada, his father," that means his spiritual father, the high priest, the Kohen Gadol, "had done to him, but killed his son, killed Jehoiada's son, and as he died, he said, 'The Lord look on it and repay.'" And that's what happened. Because this man died. And there was a conspiracy against him. And he was assassinated. Look at verse 26. These are the ones who conspired against him. And it gives their names. And look where it says about the execution of judgment against Joash. And when they had withdrawn, verse 25, from him, for they left him severely wounded, his own servants conspired against him because of the blood of the sons of Jehoiada, the priest, and killed him on his bed, so he died. The little boy that was hidden away in the house of the Lord, and then made king at age 7, and then mentored by this wonderful spiritual giant, Jehoiada, and this man lives for 130 years. And then he finally dies. And then what does Joash do? He falls back into his dissipation. Listen, I want to tell you something. There is a spirit of dissipation. Do you know what the word dissipation means? That means you dissipate. You fall apart. The good thing that was in you begins to be corrupted. You begin to fall away. And that's going to happen in the last days. There's going to be a great falling away. People that you thought were believers, people that you thought were spiritual giants, you're going to find them down at the Bowery, down in the gutter. You're going to find them somewhere. Look, as long as Jehoiada lived, Joash was at his best. But apparently, he was devoted more to the man than he was to the Lord, because when he was taken out of the way, he forgot the Lord. Hallelujah. And this is what every spiritual leader worries about. What will the movement be like when they're gone? I'm sure Marie Brown worried about that. And many others. Manny Brotman, who was one of the leaders of the Messianic Jewish movement, I'm sure he was worried about that before he left this earth. Because here's the problem. We have a rebellion problem. You remember when I was reading that, the word trespass came up. All sin is lawlessness. All sin is trespass. All sin. And let me tell you something. You and I have a problem. Oh yes, it's called rebellion. Yes, there is a lawlessness. Now, we all know about outlaws, right? You know about Billy the Kid, and you know about Jesse James, and Pretty Boy Floyd, and all the gangsters of the 20s. You know about outlaws. They didn't care about the laws. They robbed banks. They did whatever they wanted to. They shot police. They didn't care. They were lawless. The Bible says that all sin is lawlessness. This is our problem. You and I have a little problem. Joash had this problem. And it didn't manifest while his spiritual father was watching him. But when the cat's away, the mice will play. When the cat is no longer on the scene, when the cat is taken out, and unfortunately the old priest died, and when the cat's away, the mice did play. Now, you got to see how important it is to know about this rebellion problem, because it manifests in two ways. Number one, we don't listen to anybody. And number two, we keep falling into the same old rut. We have to confess our sins and renounce them and turn away from them. And you and I need to be members of a local body. We need a Pastor Jehoiada watching every one of us little Joashes. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Listen, you cannot be a spiritual freelancer. Some people say, well, I don't go to any congregation and I don't have any spiritual leader. But, you know, I just kind of do God's work and I just sort of flit around and I'm here and I'm there and everything is fine. Well, listen, if you look at this passage in 2 Chronicles, chapter 24, you see what is in you. You have a Joash problem. Even if you have a good pastor, there's a possibility that after he dies, you'll pull some shenanigans that are going to get you in trouble with God. Can anybody say amen to that statement? Hallelujah. And so you have to see what you're made of. If you really agree with 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, that you have a rebellion problem, that all sin is lawlessness, that there's a little bit of an outlaw in you, that there's a little bit of a lawless outlaw in you. Well, listen, that should tell you that you need to be in a local body. You need to be faithful. You need to be accountable. You need to be teachable. Because, listen, there's a lot of stuff wrong with us. And even after we get ourselves together, the devil can come back. And he can try to take up residence again. He can look for a foothold. He can look for a stumbling block. He can dangle some carrot to try to get you to look back like Lot's wife. Something in this world. You say, you know, I was really serving the Lord well until I had that automobile accident and the insurance company came and all those bills started piling up and then I got that job offer and the next thing you know, I'm working down there at that place and I shouldn't have been there because it didn't honor the Lord. And it ruined my reputation as a believer. And one thing led to another. And you see, in the house of the Lord, that doesn't happen. If you listen to your Jehoiada. And you know what? He should have listened to him all along. Now, I had a Jehoiada in my life. His name was Dr. Donald McGavern. And in 1971, I was 27, turning 28 years old. I went into his office and he was screening me because I had signed up go into a theological training to become a minister. And he looked me right in the eye and he said, "Do you love the Lord? Are you born again? And are you called to serve Him as a minister?" And he was checking me out. Little did I know that this man was going to be my mentor and help me publish my books and do everything that I did. But he was already in his 70s and he was only going to live a few more years. Actually, he lived to be about 90 years old. But after he's gone, now the question is, what about me? Will I be a Joash? Or will I go on in God? And you see, you can't just read this little passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 24. You can't just read this and say, "Oh, that's interesting," and close the Bible. You've got to pound this book into your spirit. You have to preach this stuff to yourself. You have to say, "Joash Gopal, you are not going to dissipate. No way. You're not going to waste the spiritual investment that was made in you. Are you kidding? I studied under one of the greatest missiological teachers of the 20th century, if not of all time. I had one of the finest men of God that ever got involved in missiology as my personal teacher. And now if I would squander that, if I would pull some kind of Joash, first the prophets would show up. And then the next thing that would happen is the wrath of God would start pursuing me. And friend, when the wrath of God starts pursuing you, preacher, this whale cannot be outrun. This whale will catch you. And you have to see that this is not just talking about Joash. This is not just talking about Jehoiada. This is talking about Dr. Donald McGavern. This is talking about Phil Goble. This is talking about you. This is talking about me. This is stuff that needs to be preached. I need to read this and memorize this and pound this into my stubborn, stupid head every day. Because he who endures to the end will be saved. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I thank God for the pastors that I had. Myron Taylor, Stanley Berg. These were men of God. I would go into their office. They would look at me. There would sometimes be a little tear in their eye as I told them my problem. They cared about me. They made an investment in me. They were a Jehoiada for me. And that's what the house of God is. And if you're somebody who does not have a membership in a local congregation and you don't have a pastor like that, you are making a big mistake. Because even with all this going for him, Joash still trashed his spiritual life. He still trashed it. You see, Yeshua said, "Broad is the way that leads to destruction." There are many Joashes out there on that broad superhighway. And these are guys that have the Jehoiadas. What about the ones that don't have the Jehoiadas? I think one of the apostles said, if it's hard for even the righteous to be saved, what about the unrighteous? And so you got to see who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with Elohim, with the very Word of God. Hallelujah! You're dealing with Yeshua HaMashiach. Where does it say that He is God? Well, every time we hear the word Bar Enosh in the Brit Hadashah, it's referring back to Daniel 7:13. The Bar Enosh that comes in the clouds of glory, and He is worshipped by all people. And He gives the kingdom to the Atik Yomin, the Ancient of Days. And this is the divine Mashiach. He is the Mimra, the Word of God. Everything that is created by Him. He's the craftsman at God's side. And it says, who has thrown the stars into the sky? What is His name? And what is His Son's name? And we know the name of the Son. It is Yehoshua, Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus. That's who it is. Like it or leave it. All you got to do is open the book of Nehemiah. You'll see His name. It's there in Ezra. It's there in Zechariah. It's there. When the angel showed up, the Malach Hashem, and said, "You will call His name Yeshua because He will save His people from their sins." He was coming alongside the prophetic word and fulfilling it. Because it was all in the Tanakh. All that we are preaching is in the Tanakh. Everything that we say is in the Hebrew Bible. And this is who we're dealing with here. We're dealing with the Lord. And we will have to be accountable. Listen, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. We all must stand before the judgment. Kisei throne of Mashiach. Amen? And we got to be like Thomas. It finally sunk in. And he said, "My Lord, Adoni, and my God." He said, "I see who you are now. I understand who you are." And he is in John 1:1, in John 1:18, in John 20:28, in Romans 9:5, in Titus 2:13, in Hebrews 1:8, in 2 Peter 1:1, in all these passages. He is very God from very God. That's who Yeshua is. We're dealing with Him, and we have to be accountable to Him. And we have to say, "Lord, I have a rebellion problem. Show me my congregation. Show me my pastor. Show me my Jehoiada. Help me to be faithful and true. And even when he's off the scene, help me to go on. And don't let me fall into dissipation." Now, as I do the Yiddish New Testament, I'm seeing scary stuff in the original language, in Hebrew and in Yiddish. I'm seeing four olams. Esh olam, eternal fire. Onesh olam, eternal punishment. Chet olam, eternal sin. Chaye olam, eternal life. Now, if you're the wrong type of Joash, friend, you're going to know about Esh Olam, Onesh Olam, and Het Olam. But if you listen to the Word of God, and you hang on to the spiritual legacy of your Jehoiada pastor, and even after he goes off the scene, you continue to fight the good fight and keep the faith, and you endure to the end, then you're going to see Chaye Olam, eternal life. Now, I got to talk to you about these Olams, because there's four of them. And an Olam is very scary. Olam means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We're talking about Esh Olam, eternal fire. Where does it say that? Several places. Matthew 25, the book of Jude. Onesh Olam, eternal punishment. Listen, it's one thing when we had somebody in our congregation, they were parking in the wrong place, they had to pay a $45 ticket. Now, when you go into the court and you write out that little $45 fine and you give it to the clerk and he gives it to the judge and you walk out, it's all behind you. Because it's not an Olam type of Onesh. It's just a temporary Onesh. a little fine, a little punishment, nothing big, nothing to worry about. It's behind you. But friend, what we're talking about in the Bible, when you look at these Hebrew words, when you look at these Yiddish words, when you look at the original language, friend, I'm talking about the book of Daniel and the last verse of Isaiah. Don't say, oh, he's talking about the New Testament. It's going to cost you something that you don't bother to read every Hebrew word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In the very last verse of Isaiah, it talks about unquenchable fire and shame. And then it takes that same word, shame, in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and says it's eternal shame. It is deraon olam, not temporary shame and contempt, but eternal shame and contempt. And you know what? Because we're so carnal and so fleshy, and because we have this problem with rebellion and lawlessness, this kind of thing doesn't stick in. It doesn't really sit. It doesn't really stick in our hearts. But you have to remember that Yeshua died on that tree not to save you from a bad hair day, but to save you from onesh olam 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 olam. Because this is a fine. This is a punishment that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And when the devil comes and takes your flesh, and the two of them, your flesh and the devil, along with the world, are leading you down the primrose path, that's what they're leading you toward. And you don't need to just read the Bible, you have to study the Bible, and you don't need to just study it, you need to preach it, and you don't need to preach it just to other people, but you especially need to preach it to yourself. And that's what I'm doing. I'm saying, Goebel, I want to tell you something. You had a Jehoiada, his name was Donald McGavern, you are not going to pull any kind of Joash over my dead body, will you do it? You're not going to do it. You're going to take this word in 2 Chronicles 24 and you're going to pound it in your head. And you're going to do right. My mother always said, you're going to live right and do right and fly right. Well, that's what I'm talking about right here. Hallelujah. You've got to preach this stuff to yourself, because we are in a backslidden condition in this country. And even the house of God is falling into dissipation. And it says in the last days there will be terrible times. And it says there will be a great falling away. Falling away where? Falling away into Onesh Olam. That's where. Now I want to talk to you about Het Olam. You see, there's a little deviousness in all of us. And there's a little bit of jadedness in all of us. And the Pharisees, they were like the PhD theologians of their day. And they kind of looked down their nose at this peasant preacher from the Galilee, this one from Nazareth. They looked down their nose at him, and they saw all these miracles. They saw over here. Here's a leper that's cleansed. Here's a blind man. He doesn't have any sight. He's been blind from birth. All of a sudden, he's seeing and dancing around. Then they see, here's a man over here paralyzed. He can't walk. He gets up, carries his mat. Then there's somebody over here who's a paralytic. Same thing. Then there's somebody over here that's demon-possessed, rolling around, foaming at the mouth, falling into the fire. Here's a child over here that died. They're already dead. This child is raised from the dead. They see all of this. They see the great crowds. Instead of going the way Joash should have gone, Joash should have said, I had the greatest priest in the world as my personal mentor. He saved me from death. I was going to be killed by this wicked Athaliah relative of mine. And they hid me in the temple, and then at age 7 I was made king. And he was right there as my spiritual mentor all those days. Oh, hallelujah. They should have said, look, this guy, he's from the tribe of Judah, from the house of David, and he's doing all these things. He couldn't do them unless God was with him. They should have been going in that direction. But you know what they would do? You know what they did instead? They hardened their heart, like Joash did after Jehoiada was dead. They hardened their heart, and they said, Yeshua, or Jay, because they were looking down at him. They said, you know that unclean spirit that was in that Gerizim demoniac that guy that was naked running around in the graveyard, breaking all those fetters and scaring everybody on the road. You know that unclean spirit, that demon? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit is. That's what you're doing. That's the Holy Spirit that you're the so-called Holy Spirit that's doing all these miracles. That's what it is. It's that. And Yeshua said, Oh no. Now we're talking about Chet Olam, eternal sin. I don't say that you should pray for that. I'm not telling you that you should pray for anybody who's done that. Listen, friend, there's just so far you can go with your anti-Jesus stuff. There's just so far that you can go with that. He said you can blaspheme the Son of Man. You can put me on the tree. That's why I'm here, to die for your sins. But if you go too far and you blaspheme and you curse and you defile and you slander the very spirit that is supposed to bring you to repentance, to bring you to contrition, to make you afraid, to make you feel the judgment coming, to make your hard, unpenitent heart begin to melt, to make you want to ask God's forgiveness. If you go so far that you're actually working against the very spirit that could save you, that could bring you to the Savior, if you do that, then there's no hope for you, friend. It's Chet Olam, for Onesh Olam, for Esh Olam, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And if you're listening to this right now, friend, wherever you are, you better get a little bit of fear of God. You better have a little fear like I have, because I'm afraid of the Lord. I know that I'm a potential Joash, because everybody is. We all have had wonderful... Look at it. If you're an American, look at what you've already received. Oh, the great bounty of freedom, the ability to read the Bible wherever you want. Listen, you're not in Cuba. Nobody's going to arrest you for reading the Bible. You might even be able to preach on the street and get away with it. But if you turn your back on that heritage and you harden your heart, Chaye Olam will be something you missed. And you'll be sorry about it forever and ever. Listen, Gehinnom is a place where people are very sorry for what they've missed. And listen, friend, there's no way that I'm going to let my stupid flesh cheat me out of my reward. If I have to preach to myself every day, if I have to pray in tongues till I'm hoarse, if I have to pray in the Spirit, if I have to read the Psalms, if I have to memorize this passage in 2 Chronicles 24, whatever I have to do, I'm going to make sure that I don't let my own wickedness trip me up here. Because you see, what we're dealing with here is, who are you accountable to? Now, while he was alive, Joash was accountable to Jehoiada. But unfortunately, the old man finally died. He lived to be 130, but he finally died. And at that point, Joash should have already had his allegiance to God. He should already have been accountable to the Lord and fearing the Lord. And when these contemporary younger people came around and said, "Hey man, why don't you be hip like us? Let's leave this house of God and go worship these images and these idols. Come on with us." He should have said, "No, I fear the Lord. I fear the Lord. The investment that was made in me by my spiritual mentor, my pastor, is such that I can't squander that legacy, because I'm not just thinking about him now. I'm thinking about the Lord who sent him to me, and I'm going to hang on to the Lord here, and I'm going to be faithful to the Lord, and I'm going to be loyal to the Lord. And I'm not afraid of you guys, because the fear of man brings a snare. And I'm not intimidated by you guys, because to be highborn is a lie. And so you go your way, and I'm going to go my way. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Is there anybody in this house that will say amen to that? Amen. Hallelujah. Because you see, this is what got us in the problem in the first place. You see, Adam should have been accountable directly to God. But what happened? He was accountable to his wife and not to the Lord. And the fear of the Lord brings a snare. So when the devil took over his wife, and then his wife started leading him like an ox to the slaughter, to that forbidden tree, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that tree of death, he just went along with her. And sometimes on the street, when we're preaching and giving out Bibles and tracts, there'll be a little Jewish guy that will come along. But then when you start talking to him, he'll say, "Look, I can't really talk to you here because my wife's shopping in the neighborhood. And if she saw me talking to you, I would be in so much trouble you couldn't believe. So I've got to go on down the street." And so the rich young ruler blows us off. After 5 minutes, he gives Yeshua about 5 minutes, and then he goes on down the street. Cain should have been accountable to Abel, but he says, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Hagar should have been accountable to Sarah, but as soon as Hagar got pregnant, she despised her mistress. You see, Samuel, what did he say to Saul? "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of God, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." And that's in 1 Samuel 15:26. So instead of being accountable to the Bible and teachable as far as the prophet was concerned, he went his own way. And look at this text that I'm preaching today. Let's go back and look at it one more time. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 22. "Thus Joash the king remembered not the chesed, the kindness which Jehoiada, his spiritual father, had done to him, but slew his spiritual father's son, the prophet Zechariah." This is a different Zechariah than the one that wrote the book of Zechariah. And it says, "And when he died, when this prophet died, the son of Jehoiada, he said, 'The Lord look upon it and require it.'" In other words, the Lord make this man accountable. And he, you know what? You're going to be accountable one way or the other. Either the school of hard knocks, or the other way, the easy way. If your pastor has a word from the Lord and he cautions you and he warns you, if you will receive it, then you won't have to learn the hard way that he was telling you the truth. And you can avoid many pangs. Look at Psalm 10 verse 13. It says, "Why doth the wicked renounce God?" It says, "He has said in his heart, 'Who will call me to account? Or thou wilt not call me into account.'" In other words, he doesn't really think he's accountable to God. Now, a lot of people think that they have this situation where they don't really need any spiritual mentors. They think that it's just them and God, and they're super spiritual about it, and they want to leave all pastors out of the mix. But you have to remember that the Bible says, "Obey your leaders." It says, Hebrews 13:17, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account." In other words, the pastor of the present occupant of the White House, that pastor in Chicago, he's going to have to give an account for discipling a man that became the President of the United States. What he taught him, how he discipled him, the gospel he gave him. That's he's going to have to stand before the Lord someday. And of course, you see, you don't know who you're influencing when you influence somebody in the house of God, what they might do, go out and do. And oh God, if I cause anyone to stumble, if I cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for me to have a chain put around my neck and be thrown into the sea. You have to understand who you're dealing with here. You're dealing with Almighty God. And we're all going to have to stand before Him. Romans 14:12. "So then every one of us must give an account of himself to God." It says, "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Yeshua HaMashiach according to my gospel." And that's why there are no secrets in your heart. Your heart is an open book. God is reading it every day. And you can't live a double life, because it says we must all stand before the judgment seat of Messiah. So I want to stand before Him every day. And it says if I judge myself, I won't be judged. And I want to repent every day. And it says, 2 Chronicles 5:10, we all must appear. So I have a court date coming. And I'm going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account. I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful Joash, who carried on the spiritual legacy of your mentor, your Jehoiada spiritual father. Is there anybody else that would say that today? Could you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Because there's a fire that's going to try every man's heart. Every man's work is going to be tried in the fire to find out what it was. If it's wood, hay, and stubble, it's going to be burned up. And I'm just praying today that the Lord will speak to you, that He will that He'll speak to your heart. It says in John chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. And so this passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, starting around verse 17. Now after the death of Jehoiada, the leaders of Judah came and bowed down to the king, and the king listened to them. That was a mistake. Therefore, they left the house of God, the Lord God of their fathers, and served wooden images and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem because of their trespass. Right there, that's the word that's going to judge me on that day. That's the word that's going to judge me on that day. And that's why I have to eat that scroll. I have to eat it. I have to think about it. I have to meditate on it. Oh, hallelujah. Because many, many, many messianic Jewish leaders are going to be raised up. And this Orthodox Jewish Bible, oh, the devil would love to bring some kind of smear on that. He'd love to make me stumble. And I cannot stumble. I've got to preach to myself. I have to pray. I have to wait on the Lord. And you know what? I have to forsake false gods. I have to forsake self-worship. I have to renounce self-worship and evil. I have to abandon myself to the Lord. I have to leave and abandon all sin. I cannot look back like Lot's wife. I have to get outside of myself and think about the legacy that the Lord has given me. Listen, when I walked into Dr. Donald McGavin's office in August of 1971, the Lord was sitting right there next to us while He was interviewing me. I can see the Lord sitting there with His ketan, His beard, His tzitzit on his the hem of His garment, His sandals. I can see him sitting right there. And what was the Lord thinking about on that day? He was thinking about the Hasidim, about a Brit Hadashah, just for them in ultra kosher Yiddish. He was thinking about the Orthodox Jewish Bible. He was thinking about a Bible society. He was thinking about a school in Brooklyn. He was thinking about Messianic synagogues all over the world. And he was thinking about this choice vessel, Dr. Donald McGavin, this missiological teacher. And he was thinking about this man being my mentor, my Jehoiada. And here I am with my Joash flesh and the Joash world and the Joash devil and the Joash people around me who could care less about this. Let me ask you something. Do you think these princes of Judah cared at all about Jehoiada? Good deal. The old man's dead. We're glad he's gone. He was too spiritual for us. You know, we're tired of this house of God. We want to check out these new religions. And King, we want you to come with us. And if any of these prophets show up, we're just going to smack them down. And we're going to have a new religion here. We're going to throw out the Jehoiada religion. And we could care less about that guy. And there are people right now around me, friend, who could care less about Dr. Donald McGavin, and they could care less about evangelizing and creating Bible materials and translating Bibles for these unreached peoples, these ultra-Orthodox Jews. They could care less about this. And there are people who are ignorant, and there are people who are demonized, and there are people who have generational iniquity and curses, and they have blindness. And if I let them, they could pull me in the wrong direction. But I've got to make a decision today that I'm going to stay in the house of God. I'm going to stay under the holy gaze of spiritual mentors. I'm going to stay with the Jehoiadas that the Lord has for me. And I'm going to serve the Lord. And I'm going to finish the race no matter what it costs. And those of you who are listening to me today who do not have a pastor, who are not an accountable member of a local congregation, who have no one to call you up and say, Josephine, we missed you last Sunday. Where were you? Were you sick? Are you okay? Oh, you're in the hospital. You need us to visit you. Oh, you're dying. You need us to come. Oh, you need someone to preach the funeral. You're completely alone. You have no one to help you. You need us to come with help. Okay, we'll be there. You see, friend, let me tell you something. There is a Joash peril that you are in. You see, when Joash's pastor died, he said, you know what? The cat's dead. The mice can play now. I don't have to worry about it. He's dead. What can he do? He's dead. He's out in the graveyard. So it's party time. It's party time. And so that lawless spirit took over. That sinful spirit took over. And we live in a sinful world, friend. We live in a sinful world where there's all kinds of stuff going on. Oh, you want homosexual marriage? No problem. We'll find a homosexual archbishop, and you gay people, we'll give you a marriage. Whatever you need. There's all kinds of stuff like that going on. There are false prophets prophesying in the flesh. There are people who are teaching false doctrine. There are people who don't care about studying Greek. They don't care about studying Hebrew and Yiddish. They don't care about preaching on the street. And they don't care about reaching these lost people. And they don't even care about praying for people like me that are trying to do it. And friend, I want to warn you today about the four olams. One more time. Het olam, eternal sin. Esh olam, eternal fire. I'm going to warn you about this horrible thing that's coming. It's called hell. I want to warn you about it. I don't know where Joash is today. Only the Lord knows, but you know what? It doesn't sound good. When you read the Bible, it doesn't sound like he went to the same place that his spiritual mentor went. Listen, I want to go to heaven. I want to go where Donald McGavin went. I don't want to go to Onesh Olam, Esh Olam. I don't want to commit Het Olam. I want Haye Olam. Is there anybody here who can say, yes, I want Haye Olam. I want to be accountable. I want to have a pastor. I want to have a congregation. I want to be accountable to somebody. I want to, listen, when a policeman gets up in the morning, he doesn't just stick his revolver on and tie his shoes and go out and start shooting people. He goes down to the police precinct, and there's a roll call. And there's somebody there, a sergeant or somebody that he has to say aye-aye to. Amen? He's accountable. And if there's a firefight, he has to turn over his gun, and they have to do a hearing to find out if the person they shot was truly self-defense, if the person was really armed and dangerous and posed a real... You see, in other words, everything is accountability. Where do people get off thinking that you can be spiritual and you can love Yeshua and you don't have to be accountable? It's not in the Bible. And here is an instance in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 where there is a certain lethal danger that is involved. A certain destruction that's involved. A certain dissipation and inebriation and a certain destruction that comes. Because we find out that what happens ultimately is the whole kingdom goes into exile. And God is finished, it seems, for the time being, with all of those kings of Judah. And it's not until Yohanan of the mikveh tevilah of Teshuvah, it's not until he shows up and is a voice crying out in the wilderness that the true king of Judah, the true king, the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach, the king that is the King of Kings, Yeshua ben David. It's only when he shows up and begins to announce the kingdom of God and begins to preach in the shuls and do miracles by the Ruach HaKodesh, that what was destroyed, the fallen tent of David, was then resurrected and brought back to life. Hallelujah! And I thank God that the Lord preserved the Davidic throne, that He did save little Joash, and that there were other kings that came, and that Yeshua was destined to come into this world as the son of Joseph ben David, and that he had Davidic blood, and that he was truly the Mashiach of Israel. Would you just bow your head right now and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me? Dear God, I want to thank you for all the Jehoiadas and all the pastors of all the congregations where the Bible is believed and faithfully taught. Help me to find my place and to be accountable and to be teachable and to be correctable, so that even when my pastor goes on to heaven, I will continue his legacy, that I will not bring the wrath of God on myself or cause the prophets to have to prophesy against me, but I will be a faithful servant in the house of the Lord. And I will live in the house of the Lord like little Joash did before he was 7 years old. And I will live there all the days of my life, and will give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said...